Okay. Okay, we will go ahead and call this meeting to order. And we will have our secretary, Gabe Griffith, do a roll call.
Okay. President Donna Pomerantz?
Here.
First Vice President Gene Lozano?
Here.
Second Vice President Roger Peterson?
Here.
Secretary Gabe Griffith? Here. Treasurer Peter Pardini?
Here.
Meet House President Jeff Tom?
Here.
Okay, Jerry Arakawa?
Here.
Lena Bandy?
Here.
Artis Bazin?
Here.
Foster Brown? Foster Brown? Do we have Foster? No Foster? Okay. Vince Calderon?
Here.
David Hanlon? David Jackson?
Here.
Dan Kaiser?
Here.
And Linda Perrell?
Here.
And unless I missed anybody, I believe that's everybody.
Okay. With thank you very much.
Two absences?
Everyone, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Can we get Roger a microphone, please?
I just want to say that the hearing, ALD is not working.
Okay,
the ALD is working little to none.
Little to none.
It's mostly there's a noise. My receiver is working.
Okay, your receiver is working. I'm not sure if Jason or Brian, who it is that's in the room, because Brian is here.
It's coming back.
Can you talk on the microphone, Roger, please?
I was saying it seems to be getting a little better. Did you do something?
They're adjusting, yeah, since you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is still a kind of a funny whine, but the signal is good, pretty good now. Thank you.
Now, Mike is way in the back, and Mike usually sits up closer in front. I don't know if that impacts anything. Okay.
I think it's good now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And I know, Mike, you bring yours, your own, from time to time, so we're going to need to work with that. Brian is doing adjustments, so have patience. And, Brian, thank you very much. Okay. The next item on our agenda, I would like to welcome our special guests, our representatives from the American Council of the Blind are here. Michael Garrett, who is a member of the Board of Directors of the American Council of the Blind, as well as Chair of ACBES. And his better half, as I call her, Peggy Garrett, who is Chair of the American Council of the Blind Multicultural Affairs Committee. All right. Welcome all the way from Texas. We will be hearing more from them as time goes on. What I would like to ask is if any board members have any announcements. At this time, I do not, but I don't know if other board members do.
I have.
Peter has an announcement.
I have a couple of announcements. Basically, CCB is selling sweepstakes tickets. If you need sweepstakes tickets, go to the registration desk when it's open. And first prize is $500 cash. Second prize is the hot air balloon. And the third prize is a talking GPS. And tickets are $1 a piece. And basically, For each 10 tickets that you that a chapter sells, each chapter will be remitted $3. So I would encourage everyone who hasn't bought tickets to buy them. Or if chapters need to turn in tickets, they can also do that at the front desk.
Registration.
Registration desk, I'm sorry. Basically, we'll be having a mud strut table at the CCP table. We'll be selling T-shirts, tote bags, and doggy bandanas. So please check out the exhibit rooms. They're in Bordeaux, Burgundy, the wine rooms, and the
Thunderbird,
Colombard Moselle.
Okay.
And they'll be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow, and on Saturday from 9 to 4.
And during the Mutt Strut Report, I will give you the prices of those items. So.
And we're still selling meal tickets. So basically, if you need to purchase, if you need to get a luncheon ticket for tomorrow, please do so before 10 a.m. If you'd like a President's Dinner ticket, purchase it before noontime. Again, you can do that at the CCB registration desk. And I would encourage, and if people aren't here, to please pass the word around. We'd like to sell as many meal tickets as we can. That concludes my announcements.
Can you tell that he's our treasurer? Yay. Thank you, Peter.
Madam Chair.
Roger, and can you be on the mic?
I'm on the mic. I have a question about the program. I noticed that the Hearing and Visually Impaired Committee is listed for this room, and somehow I have a feeling they'll be setting it up for the banquet.
Mm-hmm. We will, I think what I would like at this point, because I know there are a lot of questions about a lot of things, if we can stick to specific announcements for this part of the agenda. But, Roger, I have note of your question.
I didn't expect it to be answered. I just expected it to be noted. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other announcements? Okay. Thank you, Peter. Okay. Reading and review of the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I continue, I have been asked to please remind people, put your cell phones on vibrate, please. I realize that folks are needing to get a hold of people and so on and so forth, but please respect everyone else in the room and put your cell phones on vibrate, please. Or turn them off altogether, but
mine doesn't work in here
anymore. Our compromise is vibrate. And, Mr. Secretary, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to go ahead and read the agenda.
I think I can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have item number one was call to order. Number two is roll call. Number three is announcements and welcome of special guests. I think that's, so that was three. Four is reading and review of the agenda. Five is approval of minutes. Six, treasurer's report, Peter Pardini, including A, account balance report as of September 30th, 2011. B, balance sheet as of August 31st, 2011. Can we read the file names of those?
No.
John? Okay. C is Treasurer's report as of August 31st, 2011. D is comparison statement of income and expenses for the period January 1 through August 31, 2011 and 2010. E is Muttstrut financial report. Item number 7 is publications committee report. 8 is funding request from crisis committee. Number 9 is report on Newell Pair Trust Fund. 10 is report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. 11 is a conference and convention committee report and discussion. Chair Eugene Lozano Jr. 12 is public comment on conference and convention report. 13 is draft record retention policy. 14 is expectations of CCB board members. 15, public comment. 16, adjourn. And that is your current agenda, Madam President.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. Now the next item on our agenda is approval of board minutes.
We have to approve now, the agenda.
Artis?
I'd like to make a motion that we waive the reading of minutes.
Can you get onto a mic?
Madam President, point of order real
Did
quick.
Did I goof?
Do we need to approve the agenda before we move on to approving
of
minutes?
Oh, yes, thank you. Oh, I put reading and review of the agenda instead of reading and approve of the agenda. Thank you. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as read?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Okay.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, discussion. Roger.
I believe that we've established over the years that Newell Perry only has one L. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I did the same thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what?
Blame it on Jeff. Just got
actually, that's exactly what I did. What Gabe said is blame it on Jeff. You just copied and pasted. I said to myself, you know, I'm not sure of the spelling. I'm going to go grab it from the previous agenda. But I wasn't going to be blaming Jeff, but Gabe forced me to do so. Bad, bad secretary. Okay, any other discussion? Okay. Apologies. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion is approved. Okay. Now we have item number 5 on the agenda, approval of minutes. And can we have everyone please make sure to use a microphone anytime you're speaking because of those who use assisted listening devices. Item number 5.
Yeah, I need a mic.
I got one right here. It's coming. David's going. There you go.
Okay, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as sent instead of reading them.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Several seconds. Ooh, Vince used a mic. Wonderful. Okay, do we have any discussion?
Dan.
Is that all minutes?
Dan.
Dan has, and I will give you...
The presidential microphone.
Yes.
I would feel a lot more comfortable voting to not read the minutes if I knew if any of the audience were interested. We could read the minutes. We have them in front of us. But is it possible, Madam Chair, to kind of get a straw poll, not official, but just a straw poll from the audience? Well, that's a factor in the vote, but I did the straw poll.
Actually, I would have the board of directors vote on this motion if there isn't any more discussion. What I would encourage people to do, if you have a strong wish one way or another, please communicate that to us. And as somebody barked from the audience, that they will be published in the BC, which is what I was going to say as well.
Madam President.
So... we have Gabe seeking the floor.
Yes, I'm glad you pointed out that these are going to be published in the BC. They are also, once we approve them, available through the office for anybody to call and get them. But in the interest of full disclosure, I'm not sure if the email had gone out to the full board.
Yeah.
There was one change from the minutes that were emailed out. I believe it was the September 28th minutes. Peter submitted a change in the wording of the motion for accepting the draft audit report. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that change from what was emailed.
The revised minutes were sent to the board, so yes, they were. Any more discussion? Again, this organization belongs to each and every one of us. We would like to hear from you after conventions of what your wishes are. And you absolutely can call the office. Ed would be jumping for joy if he got lots of calls from people saying, please send me the board minutes in Braille. Please send them to me in large print. Please email me the minutes. Ed often says, I never get calls. He'll even read them on cassette. So this organization belongs to all of us. Please feel free to do so. Any more discussion on that item?
Okay. Madam Chair.
Roger. And then I'm calling for the question.
I just want to question whether Artis meant her motion to include both sets of minutes that were approved.
Yes, she did.
Fine.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
One abstain.
Okay, Dan abstains. Motion carries. Okay. Now we have the next item on the agenda is Treasurer's Report. And, Peter, I'm going to give it over to you to identify each of those items in order of the agenda.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
The first item I'll bring up is the report on CDs, brokerage accounts, and checking account balances as of September 30th. Are there any questions from the board?
No questions.
So then I'll...
Mr. Treasurer.
The next report is the balance sheet as of August 31st, 2011. Are there any questions from the board?
Any questions from the board? Next item.
The next item is the Treasurer's Report for the period January 1st through August 31st, 2011. I'm just going to read the totals. For the period, we had... budgeted income in the amount of $286,420. We had actual income for the period in the amount of $141,748. That's a percent of income in the amount of 49.49%. For the same period, we had expenses total. The budgeted amount is $348,945. We had expenses for the period in the amount of $163,236 as a percent of budget, that is 46.78%. For the period, we had total income less expenses for the budgeted amount, that's $62,525. For the period, we had a net loss in the amount of $21,489, and as a percent of budget, that is 34.37%. And for other income for the period through August 31st, CCB had a difference net loss and other income in the amount of $6,683. If you include all the income and expenses for the from January 1st through August 31st, CCB lost a total of $28,107. Does the board have any specific questions regarding the income and the treasurer's report?
Any questions from the board? Okay, Mr.
Hearing
Treasurer.
I'm going to move on.
Continue.
Income and expense comparison report. Again, for 2011, for the period through from January 1st to August 31st, we had income in the amount of $141,748. For the same period in 2010, we had income in the amount of $156,566. That's a difference of $8,819. For the period, we had total expenditures for 2011 in the amount of $160,236. For the same period in 2010, our expenditures were $213,488. That's a difference of $50,252. Our income less expenses for 2011 again is $21,489. For 2010, $62,922. A difference of $41,433. Other income for the period in 2011, we lost $6,683. In 2010, we made $7,833, or a difference of $14,516. All income and all expenses for 2011, again, is -$28,171. For the period, for all expenses, all income less expenses in 2010, it was a -$55,089, or a difference of $26,917. Are there any questions regarding the income and expense comparison report?
Any questions? Continue.
So I'm going to move on to the California Council of the Blind 2011 financial report. This is for the period January 1st to October 24th, 2011. We had income from both regions in the amount of $14,241, expenses in the amount of $11,239. We had income less expenses in the amount of $3,002. Basically, this does not include the income that we received today for the mud hut in the amount of roughly $250. So we did very well for our first year with a lot of fundraising activities. During the first year, organizations can lose money. But CCB made, including the money that we received today, roughly around $3,250. This also does not include all the sales that we're going to make tomorrow on CCB.
And Saturday.
On Friday and Saturday sales for Mudstrap memorabilia, T-shirts, tote bags, and doggy bandanas.
The Mud Strut is not over. What I will share is the price list for the exhibit table. Our T-shirts are $10 a piece, and the T-shirts are white with the Mud Strut logo in a raspberry color. And the words on the logo are California Council of the Blind, First Mud Strut. And what I think is really cool is, as part of the logo, there's a little doggy bone in black, and in white letters it says 2K, 5K. So that was really cool.
So that means they're collectible because they're specific to this Mud Strut.
Yes. It is a collector's item. If you go in and purchase, you're still helping make the Mud Strut a huge success. This is our first year. Then we also have bags, which will be for sale, and the bags are $5 a piece. One bag is what people got when they registered today. We're calling that a notebook bag, and it is a good heavy canvas. If you want to purchase another one in the exhibit hall, you can do so. Take them home to a friend. Again, they have our logo, the first Mud Strut logo on them as well. The other bag that you could choose to purchase for $5 is what I call an over-the-shoulder bag. It has straps so you could put it over your shoulder and carry a lot of things. It is tan in color. The logo is raspberry, and the straps on the bag are also raspberry. So it's a tan and raspberry. The doggy bandanas that are white with the Mud Strut logo on them are $3 a piece. Now, don't say that we aren't real creative, because if you want a Mud Strut bundle, which is inclusive of all of those things, you can purchase the Mud Strut bundle for $15, and you get the two bags, the doggy bandana, and the T-shirts. Currently, we have T-shirts in all sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, 2X, 3X. Please come and buy them, because Ed doesn't want to take them home. And so those are the prices. They will be in the exhibit hall. You can meet board members at that table, the CCB exhibit table, and they'll be in on Friday and Saturday. And board members who haven't picked slots yet, you can do so still. You can come to me, and I'll let you know what slots are available so you can upsell. Madam Mr. Treasurer, I'll give it back to you. Oh, Roger.
I just wanted to mention that I see that my Braille package still contains the previous Mud Strut results that were not as good as these, so that is a change from the...
It should have both. Ed says
maybe
that it
I
has
missed
both.
The other one, I'm sorry. But I saw the one that wasn't as good as the one that Peter just mentioned.
Dan, let me give you the mic. See, I share. For those that don't think I share, for the record, I'm sharing.
I'm a believer. Peter, I just had a question for you, because when you said on the Mud Strut balance, or the balance information, account information, I thought I heard you say income 14,000 something. My Braille says income 11559.
That was the revised income, Dan.
Okay, all right. I thought my hearing was going out.
Let me repeat that for everybody's. We had income on the revised statement in the amount of $14,241. Expenses in the amount of $11,239. And income less expenses, a positive amount of $3,002.
Thank you.
Mr. Treasurer?
Who is that, please?
It's Vince.
Vince.
I have a question. Is this going to be constantly updated through the end of the year as more donations and more sales take place?
Yes.
I just want to...
I mean, I'll probably... I should do it monthly.
I just want to make sure that, you know, the final total for the year is going to be updated.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good question. Any other questions? Mr. Treasurer, any final words?
Basically, can I have a motion to approve these?
Oh, I have a question.
Oh. Okay.
I have another question, so I waited.
Okay. If we could have a motion, as the treasurer asked.
No, I have a question.
Oh, I thought you said.
No, it's just not a must-read question, so I waited to ask it. Oh. My question is two parts, and the first part's for Peter and the second part's for Donna. The first part of the question is how much money is, I don't have my reports right in front of me. How much, if it says it, maybe it does. How much money is left from the $25,000 that we got from Newell Perry? And the second part of the question is, will we have authority to spend whatever is unspent at the end of the year, or do we have to give back? Or do we know that answer? So that's my two-part question.
Jeff, I can't.
You don't have any answer.
I don't have the answer to that, but I'll get it to you.
Okay. It's not necessary tonight.
I apologize.
Okay. Great. And Peter, if you could write yourself a note on that question. So that we could get that answered. I know we do have money left. I don't know how much. Okay. Thank you. Now, do we have any more questions on any parts of the treasurer's report or Mutstrut report?
I move the adoption.
Okay, Dan moves the adoption. Lena seconds. Do you have any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam President,
Peter.
Again,
yes.
These reports are made available to members. So if you're interested in any financial reports, please contact the office.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is Publications Committee report. And if we can, Ed, get the wireless mic to Bernice Kandarian, please. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Report should be in the packets. Is there... I'm sorry? Are there any questions? The one comment that I have, and Ed, you need to help me on this, that this time around, Blind Californian was later going out. However, we got the Braille was received on Friday, the 21st. In our house anyway, and the large print was received on Monday the 24th, and I think, Ed, you put the cassettes in the mail on Tuesday the 25th? Yeah. So that was pretty close. Now we have to work on getting it out more rapidly, and we tried really hard to make it as clean a copy as we could, but some errors still slipped through, so... any other? The other issue in the report is that we need authorization to reprint the California Council of Blind Courtesy Guidelines, and there are two quotes, 500 for, I'm blanking, Roger, help me, 142.25 and 1,000 for 208.37.
And, I'll give it over to Dan, and then I will.
Hey, Bernice, I'm not sure that if you know about this situation, but on the convention update page, I saw a link that didn't have an alt tag, but it was actually a link to PayPal. And I got on the link, and boy, was that a screwy link. I assume it's an unbuilt link from what it looked like to me, but I thought, wow, goody, I can just pay for my convention with PayPal. It's for what? Okay. Because it was located on a page, on the page where I was tabbing through links and it didn't indicate where it was. So I had no idea, you know. So, but it's confusing. I don't, you know.
It didn't work yet.
I think that and
wasn't that for the monster?
That was for the guide dog, the animal first aid class.
Oh, okay.
That was what that link was for. Jeff, can we get Jeff a mic?
Yeah. Two questions, Bernice.
Mm-hmm.
First, do you have figures for email recipients of the BC? And if not, what I'd really like to see is whether it's increased from last year to this year. I have a feeling it has.
Greg is out of town, and I didn't get that figure before he left town. I don't think it's increased appreciably.
Okay. All right.
But it continues to grow slowly.
And my other question relates to the courtesy guidelines. And under normal circumstances, I wouldn't even ask it because no one has to convince me that it's a good document. But because we're scrutinizing every expenditure so closely, I guess I just want to be assured that this document is, I know it's good, I know that, but that it's being used and that it is serving a good purpose. So what can you tell me to assure me that my vote should be yes for that money?
Well, you know, we use it for tables when we exhibit, and it's requested a great deal, and it's given to people who are newly visually impaired. And I know, for instance, the Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired uses a lot of them. That it's a well received document. And
okay, thank you. That's a good answer. I'm pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Yep.
Peter.
On the courtesy guidelines. How long of a supply would a 500 and 1,000 copies last?
You know, we couldn't, Ed, I guess I didn't, I don't know if I asked you, I think I did ask you. We tried to find the records from the last time we had them printed, and I couldn't find them. Let's see, when did we have them printed? I think we had significantly more than 1,000 printed, and they lasted us about 3 or 4 years. So I think 1,000 is not going to last us more than a year or two.
Any other questions? Okay. Hearing none. Do we have a... Did somebody have a question?
No, any motion, though.
Yes, I wanted to make sure there were no questions. Okay, can we have a motion, please?
So moved.
What's the motion?
I'm sorry.
Jerry's already moving.
For the 1,000 or for the 500?
I'm sorry, for the... Yeah.
I'm sorry, I move that the board authorize funding for 1,000 copies of the courtesy guidelines.
I second the motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thanks, Jerry.
I drifted off there for a minute.
Jerry was just so busy moving. Ooh, wow. Okay. Do we also have a motion to accept the Publications Committee report as read?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Dan moved. Art is seconded. Any discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries.
Madam President, I would just like to thank all of the members of the Publications Committee and the subcommittee, the Technical Operations Group, for all of their hard work, because they have, in fact, been working very hard.
The battery died. The members have been working very hard. It was absolutely wonderful. I made a request while I was here at convention, and Some of our members actually saw it when they got here. I was at the registration table, and they said, I'm so glad. We know that you're president of our organization now because it says it on the president's message of the website. So they are working absolutely very, very hard, and we have moved to the ACB servers. So that's absolutely wonderful. Lisa's microphone has... There you go.
Thank you very much. Now, I just wanted to say that we made one addition to the technical operations group, which has given that group a great big boost. I have a new name for one of our members. I'm calling him Mr. Post-it because he posts all the things up on the website. And we look forward to adding at least one more member to the publications committee to help with all of the things that we need to go through to try to review the Blind Californian and the convention program and the announcement and pre-registration.
Yes. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Next item on the agenda is funding request from the Crisis Committee. All board members have read the letter in your packet, and I would like to first see if anyone has a motion or if anyone has any questions on this item. Does anyone want to read the letter because board members are not remembering?
I have it. Okay.
Let's get Lena a microphone. Who's to your right? Perfect. Thank you, Lena.
Thank you. Do you want the should I just start
the entire letter or just the funding amount?
Oh, I'll start from Dear President. Okay. Dear President Pomerantz and members of the CCB board, I am writing as chair of CCB's Crisis Committee. Our mission is to help CCB members who may be in a crisis needing a one-time payment of up to $1,000 to get back on their feet. The problems our members are dealing with could be anything from losing a job to needing help to get out of an abusive situation. Right now, our committee can't help anyone because our funding has run out. As the economy continues to go downhill, our members will need our services more than ever before. Allocating funds for CCB's Crisis Committee is one way CCB can help members with serious problems. I know that times are hard for all of us, and CCB has financial difficulties to face. However, the Crisis Committee is a vital program that should be available for our members to spite the bad economy. As you prepare your budget for the next year, please include the Crisis Committee for funding. Sincerely, Lee Morton, Chair, Crisis Committee.
Okay, thank you, Lena.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard so that's Peter.
So basically the Crisis Committee isn't asking for any money for the remainder of this year. Isn't that correct?
The way that the letter reads, somebody has champagne and they're not sharing. I heard the pop of the microphone probably, and it sounded like a champagne cork. Okay. The way that the letter reads to me, it sounds as if, and board members correct me if I'm interpreting it incorrectly, but the way that it reads to me, it sounds like they are in the letter asking to consider them when the budget committee meets for 2012 to consider funding for them. That's the way it reads. What I will share with this board is the telephone call that I received was, we have a number of people who are, I mean, yes, they do want this board to consider funding the Crisis Committee again in the next, when the budget committee meets and such. But the call I received is that they're getting calls from members and they wanted to have the board fund them to give them more funds to that they can work with until the next funding cycle. So, but that's not how the letter reads.
Madam President?
Jeff.
I will make a motion and then I will, after, if it gets a second, I'll argue for my motion and why. I would move that we allocate $1,000 for the remainder of this year with said money to revert back if unexpended.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Several seconds. Do we have any discussion?
Yes, Madam President. Two things. First, if we get far more than, since we have another board meeting to come, if there is a real need and we find out there's more needs than $1,000 out there, we have an opportunity to, you know, supplement this motion. This gives a solid $1,000 amount. I don't want any amount carried over. We'll make a new budgeting decision next year. It could be $1 million or it could be substantially less. but whatever it is, it should be zero budgeting and start from scratch. So that's my motion. Thank you.
Any more discussion?
It's a two-fold question. You know, how is the crisis fund, has it typically been funded? Sounds like general fund allocation is my guess. Okay, general fund allocation. And, you know, when I worked for CCB for 11 years, it was always one of the top things that I mentioned to members when I'd go to chapters that, you know, chapters have a problem, you know, chapter presidents or whatever would ask me, well, what do I tell the community what we do? And that's always been in the top category of what we do. And I think, you know, we should really start to, I'm just really promoting this because I think we really should get back into, you know, this is one of the few things that we do that other blind organizations don't. And that's the difference between us and them, is that we do help people. And I really think it's important that we, you know, keep that going. But I'm probably talking to a, you know, everybody's probably in agreement. But anyway.
One of the things that I wanted to share as well in the discussion of this motion is Gene and myself have been talking about, because we know that the need is huge, we've been talking about a specific, you know, giving it some criteria for funding. And that's not to say that this is going to be done to keep people out, so to speak. It is to give the committee a stronger focus in what is going to continue to be much harder times. So we want to help the committee out, and the committee will be reviewing a document that has some criteria and tailoring it to the CCB culture. So that is one of the things that are my wishes for the coming year. And I will contact the committee and ask if they could begin working on developing this criteria together as soon as possible to assist, because I see times getting more and more difficult, and they're going to need some help in, you know, identifying resources and, you know, choosing who they're able to fund and such. So do we have any other questions on this item? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of Jeff's motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, I am going to ask either Jeff or Vince to read, whoever can grab a hold of it faster. That is the report on the Newell Perry Trust Fund, Newell with one L.
Where did Newell Perry go?
Jeff or Vince? Who can get it first?
I say Jeff.
Ellen Murphy?
And that person will read Ellen Murphy as well.
I have Ellen Murphy, but I haven't yet. I know. I just am missing it.
Oh, did I hear Vince say there it is?
No, that was... Yes. That was yes. Dave Jackson.
Who said there it is? Oh, look, they're all quiet now.
Madam President?
Peter. Let me have Peter.
It's a documentation.
Peter, if you could read the Newell Perry Trust Fund, and Jeff, if you will read the next item, which is the Ellen Murphy.
Okay.
Peter, you first.
Okay.
And have a mic, please.
Thank you. Report of the Newell Perry Fund. Our investment with Stanley Smith Barney is almost split 50-50 with regards to stocks and bonds. On October 31st, our balance was $168,917. On October 3rd, our balance was $161,859. This appears to be a substantial loss, but I am sure that all of us are aware that the volatile behavior of the market these days. Remember that we withdrew 25,000 from our account to put in a general fund early in this year. Our current condition isn't really too bad. Donna Andrews, who's been handling our account, feels certain that things will improve. It has in the past, so she is probably right. No change in handling of our accounts will be done at this time due to the volatility of the market. If you have any questions, feel free to contact one of the trustees of the fund. Although we don't usually do it, we will send you an update on our account at the end of the year. Sincerely, Catherine Skyver, trustee, Richard Weretta, trustee, and Patricia Wolf, trustee. This concludes the report.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
What are we moving?
What are we moving? I move the adoption of that report.
Okay. Adoption of the Newell Perry report. And Artis seconded. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, Jeff.
Okay.
Report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund.
Yes, Ellen Murphy Fund. From January to September 30th, 2011, we've assisted 9 women with special needs. The total amount for this assistance is $20,212.86. A great deal of this money was spent to help people with rent, medical needs, and technology. Most of our funds in account 0105109, held at UBS, are in bonds. Bonds have done much better this year than have many stocks. As of September 30th, 2011, the balance in our account is $232,872.85. The trustees feel that we are doing fairly well, but we recognize the need for raising funds. If anyone has any ideas on how we can do this, we would appreciate hearing from you. If you have any questions, feel free to call Pat Wolf, Abigail Vincent, or Catherine Skyver. Sincerely, the trustees. And it lists their name again, and that is it. Oh, yes. That's
yeah,
right. There
is.
Was... October 19th, 2011.
Yes.
Thank you, Ed, for that. If I had just turned the page. Again, this is addressed to President Palmer from the Board of Trustees. Update on Ellen Murphy Fund Report. As of October 29th, 11. Ellen Murphy Fund has assisted 10 women, amounting to $20,778.86. The assistance was primarily for housing and medical problems. Sincerely, trustees, Ellen Murphy Fund. That's the end.
That's the full report. Okay, thank you.
Madam President.
Jerry.
I move that the board adopt the report of the trustees of the Ellen Murphy Fund.
And Artis was moving faster than you, and Artis seconded, so. All right. Do we have any discussion on this? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. Now, before we go on to the next item, I was remiss in our welcoming of guests, and I would like to also welcome my husband, Mitch Pomerantz, President of the American Council of the Blind. He is still here, but barely. Some of you have heard that he's struggling with some health issues, but he is here, and he is recovering. And, babe, I'm really glad you're here. I missed you in the spring. Yes.
How will we ever make any
money? And Gabe said, how will we ever make any money? All right. And Gabe said, what about hospitality? I don't think he'll be in hospitality at all. Not tonight anyway. Welcome. The next item on our agenda is conference and convention committee report and discussion, because our chair and vice president has a question for you, and we will definitely be opening it up for public comment when he asks his question and such, because we would like to hear from those of you in the audience on this issue. So I will turn the microphone over to Jean for the conference and convention report. Before he speaks, I do want to give him a, what I call, ginormous thank you. All of you probably have no idea how much this man puts into giving you your two conventions a year. And I think we need to give him a huge hand and thank him. And Gene, I give it over to you.
Thank you very much. As you may or may not have heard, a few weeks ago, the CCB Board of Directors met for the first time on telephone conference call with the membership and received a report on future convention and conference convention sites for spring 2013 and spring 2014. As an outcome of that meeting, the vote was, for those again who did not hear, it was decided that we will be going to the Sacramento Hilton Arden West spring of 2013 as well as spring of 2014. So you can plan that down the road. Just as a reminder, the spring 2012, we will be going back to the SFO Crown Plaza Hotel. So you can start planning that. One of the things that we traditionally would be at this time at this board meeting discussing and going over proposals for fall convention sites. And I'm sorry to say we are not able to do that this evening because of a variety of various members of our committee that goes out and look, having health and medical and personal family problems. That was not a possibility, and also not having all the information. However, the committee will be going, doing site visits on November 11th and 12th here in Southern California. And I can at least tell you that we've narrowed down the hotels to four right now that we'll be looking at, and some of them you're already familiar with. We will be looking at the Four Points LAX, which we have been in the past. Then we're going to be looking at the Marriott Irvine. The third one will be a new one, which I'm kind of intrigued with. It is the Fairmont Newport Beach location. I've never been. Well, I've been to other Fairmonts, and they're quite something. So I'm really curious about this one.
Newport Beach.
Know nothing about it or the transportation. And the last one will be the Marriott Del Mar, which was considered previously. That was something that we'd be interested in getting input from many people about any reactions about the things that we should consider when going there, looking at these various properties, any concerns you have. There's another item, and I don't know whether Madam President would like to, after I bring up this other item, generally, and kind of giving maybe a 10-15 minute slot, letting the audience to comment on these hotels, and then the other question I have, and of course we'd be very much willing and eager to receive any input people might want to. They could email to myself at or as well as leaving voice messages at the CCB office. Should I pose my question, the question, and then kind of having an open?
How do you wish to handle it? Fine either way.
Well, let's try to do it separately if it's okay.
That's fine.
So if maybe for a few minutes, if we could just see if there are anyone who would like to comment about these four properties. We're not making any decisions tonight. It's just to have things for the site visit committee to consider when they're going to these properties. Questions you might have, concerns again. And let me just go over what they are again. Is the Four Points LAX, the Marriott Irvine, the Fairmont Newport Beach, and the Marriott Del Mar. So,
Madam Chair.
Okay, what I'll do is take comments from the board first, and then after we hear from board members, we will take comments from the audience. Ed, are you in the room?
I'm ready.
Ed is in the room. Okay.
I'm ready.
So I'm going to have board members first, and then those who wish to comment, if you're able to, stand up or raise your hand so that Ed can see you in the public after the board is done commenting. Roger.
I just wanted to clarify about when we're talking about. We are committed to this hotel for next year. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So you're talking about the fall of 2013.
And 14. That's exactly right.
Okay. Good.
We'll be here fall 2012.
Board members, anyone else?
Oh,
This the hotel in Del Mar, was that the one that was voted on in the previous year that we did not choose? That the Marriott in Del Mar?
It was one of them that we had considered, and then Kathy Skivers had made a motion for doing it 2 years here, and we really didn't get into a discussion on that, but yes, it is. Yes, it was considered.
It was, yes. Okay, I heard first and then artist. That, so we'll go.
You know, Peter. I should say that that and the other hotels, there was nothing wrong with the other hotels. It was just, it was chosen on that one to come here.
Okay, Peter first.
Basically, Del Morris, that's the one in San Diego, right? I'm trying to get my geography straight.
Yes, it is. Artist?
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm trying to knock over Vince's coffee here. I just wanted to make a comment. The Newport Beach one, I don't know if there's any transportation real close to it, like the trains for people living in the L.A. area. I don't think there's any trains that go very close to the Newport Beach. So that's the only one, only concern I have about that particular one.
Okay. Any other board members?
Yeah,
Jeff.
Madam President, almost made a mistake. Gene, a question, because I'm struggling to remember. The Del Mar wasn't the one that was spread all over Creation.
No. No. I don't remember. I don't remember the name of it, but this is a totally different location. This one is a very compact hotel. Very easy to get around.
Okay.
Incredible hospitality room location. It's just incredible.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember which.
It's like a country club in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Madam President?
Before I recognize Gabe, can we have someone please close the door?
Got it. I'll do it.
Thank you. Yeah, they're cheering us on from the outside. That's what I mean. But I'm just getting so much motivation that, you know, we need to close the door. Okay, who? Gabe.
Gene, artist, kind of bringing up the point of transportation, and I know that San Diego has something like 9 different areas. Can you address real quick the transportation from airport and or Amtrak to that Del Mar location? I don't necessarily need a detailed thing, but just do you have a quick outline of that?
Okay. It's a little, it's very similar, but a little different of that to the La Jolla Hotel. Okay. They are, and this is not the purpose of this meeting, is to actually give you proposals. But what they're proposing, you would still fly to, you have these options. Fly to L.A., let's start again. You fly to San Diego, if you're not a local, and then you could get the super shuttle from the airport, from the Greyhound bus station, or the Amtrak station, and they take you there, and then they'd be giving us a discount. Very similar to that's identical to the San Diego Marriott La Jolla property.
Okay. That does a good job of addressing what I was going after, unless you wanted to do more.
But there is another thing. Okay. There's another thing. There is then... you know, where people were from the L.A. area were taking trains from the Union Station, I believe, and going all the way down to San Diego and then backtracking. Well, there is a station 4.5 miles from Del Mar, Solana Beach. And that station, the train does stop. A few of the trains do stop there. And the hotel is proposing to offer a free shuttle service from that hotel, Solana Beach station, to their hotel too, in addition to the other one with the Super Shuttle / Cloud 9. And Cloud 9 is part of Super Shuttle Company now. So that is the transportation at this point.
Okay, and thank you. I wasn't looking like you had said for a proposal. I just I know we've had some hotel proposals in the past that have been quite a distance from any airport or train stations. So I wanted to check on that as just kind of a concern of a location when looking at it.
Del Mar and La Jolla are only probably, I think, it's just the next off-ramp from the freeway. So okay. They're not that far apart. And it wasn't all that far to the San Diego airport.
No, it really wasn't. And it was just my concern is making sure it was a reasonable distance from those locations. So thank you.
Sure.
Linda seeks the floor. If we can get her a microphone.
For us geographically challenged, for Irvine, which airport would you land at coming from up north?
John Wayne.
John Wayne, okay. And for Newport Beach, the same? John Wayne, thank you.
And, and another thing is if you have any of our members from the San Diego chapters present, it would be interesting to hear because the last time we went to Irvine, they wouldn't want to use the word boycott, but there was a very small turnout because of the complications of getting there from the San Diego to Irvine. People were saying if you go to other parts of the country than it was to get to Irvine. Now, the thing is, some of us complain about the transportation, public transportation from Sacramento to the, San Francisco Peninsula with the different modes of transportation. So, I mean, there's always going to be some complicated area to go to that where there's other people are going to, be able to do it with little difficulty. Any other questions from the board?
Okay, hearing no questions from the board, if folks can stand up so Ed can get to you.
I have three standing.
Okay, and if you're not able to stand, raise your hand. We'll take the standing folks since there are three.
Standing I can do for a while.
Oh.
I suspect, this is Mitch Pomerantz.
I didn't think we'd hear from you. Oh.
Well, I think I know the answer based on Gene's not saying anything. But the Irvine...
Who let him in here?
The Irvine Marriott is not the same hotel where we were a few years ago, where there are still partials who...
falling down the stairs.
Falling down. That hotel had more mirrors than Disneyland, so...
I just
want to confirm it's not the same hotel.
No, it is not the one that was under construction at the time, no. And people were lost there. No, it's a different place. It is kind of spread out. It's all under one roof, but it is spread out. We did consider it the last time around. It's a nice place, very nice, but it's kind of spread. And just... The other question that probably no one has come up with, no, we did not get a bid from the L.A. Crown Plaza for the 13 and 14 either. So I just want to let you know that's the reason they're not part of the considerations.
Madam President.
Okay.
This is Nellie.
Nellie.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the transportation in the Irvine and Newport Beach areas. Amtrak goes to Irvine from everywhere. And there's also Orange County Transit public bus, and there's paratransit that's very reliable. And depending on what kind of a deal you get from the hotel, if there's super shuttle also. The hotel may be able to help us out as well. So I think, and from the Inland Empire, there's good transportation to those areas in terms of Metrolink and Amtrak. So, either one, great.
Thank you, Nellie.
One more.
Who's? Ed's going to the other person.
Hi, guys. Eric Calhoun. I wanted to pretty much answer Artis's question. Nellie answered partially what I was saying, but for those who wanted to take Metrolink to the Irvine Marriott or to Newport Beach, well, I have some good news for you. Taking the Orange County line like I do, you get off at the Irvine station, and then if you are challenged, you can either have paratransit pick you up or Orange County Transit pick you up. Also, this is with regard to, I think you've already answered the question with regard to the Del Mar. My only concern at this point in time, I do like the idea of us entertaining the hotel to give us a shuttle. But the main problem that I have is when I've done my sojourns to San Diego concerning Del Mar is that you might have a lot of people trying to get you into cabs. And I want all of you guys to be very aware of that when you consider the Del Mar. La Jolla, it wasn't so bad, but Del Mar, you're going to run into a lot of problems because in taking the coaster to Del Mar, let's just say for those in the San Diego area, you have to take the coaster up there, and then you have to get off, and then you have to wait for the shuttle or the cab to take you to the hotel. So it's going to be, you know, more of a hassle than can be.
The San Diego people would have, they could get on at the Amtrak station downtown San Diego or the Greyhound Depot in San Diego, or if they were out by the airport, they could do that too with the super shuttle. They're not going to have to take the train unless they really want to go north.
Thank you, Eric. Do we have anyone else?
No one standing and no hands.
And do we have any hands for those who can't stand?
You said no.
Okay. No hands. Perfect.
Okay.
Gene.
Thank you. Transportation is something that we all were expecting and anticipating there. Okay, now here's something that is just for all the hotels we're going to, we are finding it, the meals, the plated meals, particularly for the luncheons and dinners, that our choices are getting fewer and fewer to stay within the price range that we can afford. What we've over the years have been, not 100%, but a majority of the people have been saying we want at times beef or chicken, and of course the vegetarian, but when it comes to the meat eaters, it's been something to deal with using chicken or beef in there. What we're finding that they're offering us more of, and we've stayed away from it, and we thought maybe we better revisit this, is fish, particularly salmon, or we've been getting pork, different types. And we've stayed cleared away from pork primarily for religious reasons. And so we just kind of wanted to get a feeling from people if we should revisit the idea and expand it rather than just limit ourselves to chicken and beef meals if we want to have something. And again, salmon seems to be the most affordable fish that they're offering at times. And again, a variety of different pork dishes. So I just was wondering, maybe the board first wanted to make any comments about that, and then the audience.
Madam Chair.
Roger.
First of all, I just want to say I've always, whenever I've heard complaints about the meals, I've always said I don't go to the convention for the cuisine. That's how I could get better cuisine, you know, staying home. But I meant by going to the
Carl's Jr. So Bernice is going to make the meals for us now.
Yes, yes.
I meant by going to the Carl's Jr. around the corner. No. But anyway, I think that...
That's where you will be going.
After this, yeah.
I think that we should consider fish and we should consider pork. And I bet you that there aren't any more people who would have to request something else if you had pork than there are who are vegetarians and have to request something else anyway. But that's just my feeling, and I, you know, I'm also trying to, you may or may not realize it, but I try to do a little bit to control my weight and my health, my portion control, and I, you know, and I eat, when I go to the restaurant, I eat appetizers sometimes rather than entrees and so on. So, okay. And I think other people are doing that too. So, if that's any help.
Thank you. Lena, and let's get her a mic.
Here you go, Lena.
There we go.
I'm not a person who needs a mic. Thank you. I think with pork, you do have to be careful because that could lead to not just vegetarian.
Can we please have order in the audience? Thank you.
I think with pork, you do have to be careful with the religious factors, because not only then do you have the vegetarian option, but then you have the kosher option, or halal, which is almost the same thing. But you know, you have that kind of option. You're looking at like possibly three different meal options for one meal instead of two. I think definitely we should visit the salmon, you know, the fish idea. I just think with pork we have to be kind of careful and look at what the options are first.
Any other board members?
Yes.
Okay, I heard Linda, then I heard Dan, and then I heard somebody to Linda's left. So Vince. Linda. Linda's welling. Okay. Do you have a mic?
Yes, I do now. I'm assuming that we're talking about farmed salmon and not wild Alaska king salmon. And having read enough about the way farmed salmon is farmed, that's a distressing prospect.
Well, and right. Okay, and who is after Linda? Dan?
No, don't laugh too hard at this question, please, because I'm really, this is an innocent question. But is there a way you could get the hotels to let you go to a different company to cater your meals?
No.
I didn't think so, but I had to ask it.
That's part of our
food and beverage minimums here with the hotel. But that was a good question. Okay. Vince.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I'm one of those meat eaters who eat any type of meat.
Yeah.
So.
Now,
with respect to the religious aspect of it, I think we can have some of those concerns now without the pork issue, because the religious of kosher affects people now with beef and chicken. So, and there are also people who can't eat certain dishes because of health reasons. But in the interest of the money and the issue that we have to keep spending money because we're doing two conventions a year, I think everything should be on the table. And, you know, the option is the vegetarian dish. You know, you can't please everybody. And you can't always have certain choices at a banquet. So, my suggestion is consider the pork, consider the fish, and the chicken and the beef as well.
Any other board members? Jeff, let's get him a mic.
I'm basically going to amplify on what Vince said because I really think he has hit the nail on the head. I remember choosing a pork once for this organization, and I had my concerns about doing it because I knew what I was doing, and I was a little concerned about doing it for religious reasons. But I remember, and we didn't look at fish at that point in time, and that does make a difference. But basically, almost all the choices we had were chicken, other than the one pork. And so every meal would have had to have been chicken if we hadn't chose that one pork. So I think you really have to put, as Vince said, everything on the table, and I heartily agree with what you said, Vince.
Any other board members? Okay. Do we have anyone in the audience? Hearing no more board members.
I have two people standing.
Okay.
This is Judy Wilkinson. I think we should put not only the things we've mentioned on the table, but maybe other options like salads for lunch, sandwiches, and anybody who's I think got a religious worry. For instance, I'm getting tired of beef and chicken, so I often have the vegetarian option, which any meat, you know, eater could do for one meal. And I submit that the chicken in this country isn't raised, and the beef, any better or worse than the pork or the salmon. So I think for one meal or two a year, we could deal with whatever our committee comes up with for us at reasonable prices. But I just encourage you to expand all the options to allow us more flexibility and maybe particularly lighter meals at lunch. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, I personally like the idea of the fish, and I'm not as picky as...
If you can identify yourself by name first.
Susan Hyatt.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I personally like the idea of the fish for two reasons. One, I like fish, and it doesn't bother me, you know, where the fish comes from, unlike some people. And second, I like it because in most cases, fish has less salt, except if it's smoked, then that would scratch that. But for the most part, fish has less salt than some of the others. So that's another reason why I like, and that's for health reasons too. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Susan. Do we have any?
One more?
Okay.
One more?
Audience. Audience. The board had its chance.
Abby Truman. Okay. The last time we had pork here at this, it came without notice to anybody, and that's where we had the problem. If we give prior notice that we are going to have a pork dish, I see nothing wrong with having pork. And as a Jewish person, I eat pork anyway. I call it via. I just call it by a different name, and I eat it. But as long as there is prior notice so that the person can make a choice, I see no problem with having a pork at a banquet or a dinner or lunch.
Thank you. Thank you, Avi. Do we have any other members of the public?
One right here.
Okay, one moment. Ed will come to you. And please identify yourself by name.
My name is Al Gill. And my question is, we talk about expensive or not a lot of expensive. How much kind of money are we talking about? I mean, is it 25 versus 15, or how many dollars difference really are we talking about in regards to the meal?
We're talking about meals that nowadays for plated luncheons and dinners, we're talking about plated luncheons anywhere from the mid-20s to mid-30s, and the dinners, the mid-30s to sometimes mid-40s. And that's where we are, you know, trying to not go beyond that. And that's the reason we're trying to keep it within the as affordable as possible. And there's been times that the board has had to supplement
the cost of the meals there to try to bring it down and make it affordable. And it's getting harder since we're not in the financial position we used to be to do much of that subsidizing. So that's limiting what we have, some of the choices they give us. Even though we do have some creative chefs, and like the hotels we just looked at for the spring, 2013 and 14, all a new generation of chefs who are using herbs, and they actually are growing some of the vegetables and herbs right on the property and going to the farmer's market and doing more organic things, and including the ones we're going to be looking at. So there. But so those are the price ranges, and we're trying to stay within it. You know, if we can lower it, we can. But at the same time, we do get complaints if we don't get more the meals and of something of substance. People are sometimes saying, you know, I'm paying a lot of money. I like to get the same amount. I don't want California cuisine. I want some real meals.
That's true. Any other members of the audience?
One more.
Okay.
All right, Eric Calhoun. Just a quick comment. I don't really have too much of a problem with pork per se at all. But I do have a problem with fish. And I'll just go ahead and reserve my comments as far as fish is concerned. But I would say be conservative about pork as well. I share Alina's view as well. But I also want to caution people with regard to the choices that you make, that no matter what it is that you do, try to focus on thing, and that is to make everybody happy as far as the pork is concerned.
We have one more, Madam President.
Okay. We have another.
Ken Metz.
Ken.
Hey. As far as I'm concerned,
if we can please have order in the audience. Thank you. Ken.
You tell him, Madam President.
I will. Let's hear what you have to say. Thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, I go along with my friend Abby. I think that, first of all, if people, well, I know Muslims do not eat pork. Orthodox Jews, for the most part, are the ones who do not eat pork and would also keep kosher, so they wouldn't eat meals here anyhow. And I think, you know, for myself, pork by any other name is just good, very good. And fish is brain food, you guys, so think about that, too.
Any other members of the audience wish to comment?
See no
okay.
hands.
No hands?
I see no hands.
Okay.
I guess just the closing comment was that, and we'll take these, you know, this has been helpful.
Yes.
And as far, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but, you know, I could be mistaken, but I believe that at least for the last 6 to 7 years, each of the presidents we've had has had listed all the meals,
yes,
including the time we had the pork, which was not that too long ago. And that's something we will continue doing, is providing you that in advance, and not just the announcement, but also like we've done in the California Connection, so you have my idea of advance notice. Some of the challenges we get is that some of the hotels give us their menu and what they're offering us at the time we're signing the contract. Others are saying 60 days from when the event takes place, we'll give you a menu within that price range that we negotiated. So it varies from hotel to hotel on that, but we will try to get you that information far in advance. And I think at one time, and it might have been when Kathy Skivers was
in the presidency. I think we did attempt fish, and we had, there were very happy people, and there were some really dissatisfied people, and people who also were concerned about and said that they had allergic reactions to fish and could not eat fish. So that's been another reason, but I think right. I'm hearing tonight, and I know you're not all speaking for everyone, right. Speaking for yourself, and to consider is that we need to keep our options open and yeah. not just limited, and we will do that. Thank you very much for the input,
thank
and that's
you.
It for me for tonight. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is just, well, let me give you some quick background because we're going to be dealing with a couple of draft policy documents the next few items. Our auditors and accountants, we're seeing trends of other nonprofits as well. We've been encouraged to adopt some of these policies, of which are the next few items on our agenda. As we, and I know some people say, well, you know, auditors, and you know, they're auditors, and I'll just leave it at that. They're definitely, you know, very meticulous as our accountants and so on and so forth. However, as we continue to move forward and go out and seek donations from outside funding sources and such, we're finding more and more that they're asking, you know, do you have a this policy? Do you have a that policy? We want to see your privacy policy. Do you have one of those? And so just to let the audience know where some of these, you know, some of this is coming from, partially from, you know, wanting folks who are on the outside to know that we have our house in order and that they can feel good about giving money to us. And, you know, we're also being encouraged by our auditors and our accountants to adopt some of these policies. So the first item on the agenda is the draft, the first policy adoption item on the agenda is the draft record retention and document destruction policy. Now, my question to the board is, do you, does the majority wish to have these read? Have you read them? Do you have questions on these? What is the will of the board?
I have a question.
Artis.
She needs a mic.
Artis needs a mic.
Okay, I was reading through them, and the one concern I had was about employees' records. As a past employer, I thought those records had to be kept permanently in case there was ever a question about Social Security and that kind of thing. And it says in here 7 years.
Yes. And remember, these are draft policies, so the board can choose to, you know, to add things, make things, you know, for longer periods of time, take things out. You know, these are draft, and it'll belong to all of us. So, yes, that's what it says in here.
Madam President.
Is that Gene?
Yes.
Okay. We'll get a mic to Gene, and then yeah. Dan also asks for the floor.
I would like these read, please. I haven't had a chance to read them, so I'd like to have them read and give us an opportunity to have some discussion.
Okay.
And I think I believe Artis is correct that when it comes to employees' records, they are to be kept, not just limited to 7 years.
Okay, well, that's what I said.
Yeah,
but Gene would like to have the whole thing read. I have it. Jeff has it. Jeff, let me go ahead and have you read it.
Okay, this is draft record retention and document destruction policy. The California Council of the Blind shall retain records for the period of their immediate or current use unless longer retention is necessary for historical reference or to comply with contractual or legal requirements. Excuse me. Requirements or documents outlined in this policy includes paper, electronic files, prints, including email and prints, and voicemail records, regardless of where the document is stored, including network servers, desktop or laptop computers, and handheld computers and other wireless devices with text messaging capabilities. In accordance with 18 U.S.C. Section 1519 and the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, the California Council of the Blind shall not knowingly destroy a document with the intent to obstruct or influence an, quote, investigation or proper administration of any matter within the jurisdiction of any department, agency of the United States, or in relation to or contemplation of such matter or case, period, end quote. If an official investigation is underway or even suspected, document purging must stop in order to avoid criminal obstruction. In order to eliminate accidental or innocent obstruction, the California Council of the Blind has the following document retention policy. Type of document, receivables and payables, ledgers and schedules, 7 years. Annual audited financial statements, audit reports, general ledgers, internal audit reports, and trial balance journals permanently. Articles of incorporation, charter, bylaws, minutes, and other incorporation records, permanently. Bank reconciliations, 3 years. Bank statements, deposit records, electronic fund transfer documents, and cancel checks, 3 years. Chart of accounts, permanently. Contracts, mortgages, notes, and leases, prints still in effect, permanently. Contracts, mortgages, notes, and leases, prints expired, 7 years. Correspondence, prints general, 3 years. Correspondence, prints legal and important matters, permanently. Correspondence, prints customers and vendors, 2 years. Depreciation schedules, permanently. Employment applications, 3 years from making the record or the personnel action, from making the record or the personnel action, excuse me. Garnishments, 7 years. Insurance policies, records, accident reports, claims, prints expired, 3 years. Insurance policies, records, current accident reports, claims, prints still in effect, permanently. Inventory records, 7 years. Invoices, prints from customers to vendors, and prints, 7 years. Loan documents and notes, permanently. Personnel files, employee demographic information and compensation records, 7 years. Personnel files, prints I-9s, 7 years after date of hire or 1 year after termination. Personnel files, prints payroll records and summaries, including records relating to employees' leave, 7 years. Personnel files, terminated employees, 7 years after termination. Retirement and pension records, including summary, plan, descriptions, ERISA, permanently. Tax returns and worksheets, permanently. Times sheets, 7 years. Trademark registrations and copyrights, permanently. Workers' compensation documents, 10 years after first closure. That's the end of the document.
Okay, and Artis first made that statement, and I'm wondering if the board wishes to change that particular item to what Artis has requested.
Which one is it?
Artis, go ahead and restate.
There's several.
Artist needs a mic. And if you can, please make it in the form of a motion.
Sure. I'd make a motion that employee records be kept permanently.
Point of order.
Jeff.
Artist, there are several personnel files categories here.
I don't think you have to keep the I-9s, you know, permanently.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think you need to
specify.
Go through each one and specify. Otherwise, we don't know, or at least I wouldn't know what I was voting on, to be sure. That's my concern.
I think the one is already mentioned as permanent, so.
So what are you wishing, artist?
I think there's
we could read through them.
I'm trying to find my copy to tell you which one.
They start near the bottom of page 3, if you find the copy.
And I know someone stated that we should make a motion on the whole. So what I'm asking is for assistance from Roger as to how... Okay. And Jean is also calling for the floor. Artist is looking for something, so let me go ahead and give the floor to Jean.
Let me ask a question first.
Okay.
Outside of the organization, has this been reviewed by any parties, especially with an HR background?
Yes, it has.
Can you tell us something about that? Because I've heard several of these personnel things that do not seem to be permanent, at least with the state, at the state university, that those things are there forever, even after the employee is gone and because of suits. And I'm really questioning some of these things. I'm not feeling comfortable voting. I'd rather have this tabled and have this really looked at, experts in this area looking at this thing. For legal reasons.
Jeff, can I go ahead and give this part over to you? Because we took a lot of this from what the ACB Board of Directors has adopted. So do you have background on this?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will, if I get a print copy, if you email it to me. Well, I do. I have it on email anyway. I will have this looked at by some personnel folks, human resources folks, and we will call a meeting of my committee in the near future so that we get a recommendation to you on whether they should all be permanent or only some of them should be permanent.
Okay.
But maybe we should discuss whether there are any other changes that you want to make before, outside of the personnel.
Check with governmental people and government agencies, too, Jeff, on this.
I will.
That deal with this area.
I will.
Okay, so Jeff will, and Dan also has a question, but it looks like we'll have a motion to table, but if other people have things, input that they want to give tonight, I would absolutely like it because it would give direction as well to Jeff's committee. Let me give it over to Dan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jeff, and this couple paragraphs in the first part of this document where it talks about voicemail records, some of this I'm looking at the practicality of, you know, one person in the office and on a day-to-day routine, and certainly this checklist down here is very specific and is definitely doable because there's the treasurer and other people that are dealing with these documents, filing them and everything, and Ed and everybody. But as far as some of this stuff, like keeping every voicemail and all of that, some of that seems sort of impractical to me. So I would suggest that you look at some of that and juxtaposition the practicality for this organization to do some of that stuff, because we only have one person in the office, and it just, I don't know, unless you computerize the voicemail, I don't know.
Okay. Anything else from other board members, or do we have a motion to, it sounds like folks were saying they'd like to table to have Jeff's committee look into it. Do we have a motion? What are you moving?
Second.
Wait, okay, whoever moved for our secretary, please state what your motion is.
Gene Lozano tabling this document to be reviewed by experts in the area. And brought back at a future board meeting.
And the personnel committee?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And Artis seconded. So do we have any more discussion on this?
It's not debatable. Motion tables.
And Roger doesn't have a mic, so I have no clue.
I'll say, Ed, motion to table is not debatable. Just vote on it.
Oh, that's true. No discussion. Thank you, Roger. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Next item on our agenda is expectations of CCB board members document. Okay. What is the will of the board? Gene, do you need that document read as well? Do we have a volunteer? I heard I will. Two people.
I can read this if you want.
Donna. David? Okay.
You want me to do it now?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Expectations.
You need to get onto a microphone and have it very close.
Expectations. Do you guys hear me now? Okay. I don't want to be too close because I might eat it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Expectations of the California Council of... Okay. Expectations of the California Council of the Blind Board Members. California Council of the Blind, in parentheses, CCB, in parenthesis.
And can
six.
Someone please close that door that ended up getting open that I asked to be closed earlier, please?
Seeks board members who can commit to the following expectations. Contributing at least 5 hours per month, parenthesis, including board meetings and committee meetings, end of parenthesis. Promote the board mission and vision. Determine policy. Monitor the implementation of policy, the strategic plan, and the success of programs. Keep informed about CCB's financial health, approval, and monitor the annual budget. Be familiar with the bylaws of the California Council of the Blind. Attend all telephone board meetings.
Yeah.
And
love that.
The two semi-annual board meetings at the conference and conventions with no more than 3 absences within a year. Actively contribute to at least one committee a month. On a monthly basis. Distribute meeting materials in accessible formats to all board members for review no later than 4 days prior to board meetings. Read all materials before attending a board meeting. Consider personnel information about other board members, staff, clients, property, negotiations, and legal matters to be confidential. Make sure the minutes of the board meetings include any differences of opinion about policy and that they record abstentions, negative votes of motions passed. Take the initiative to communicate ideas to the board officers. Share expertise with the California Council of the Blind. Be an advocate for CCB on the state level as well as in the local communities. Encourage volunteer involvement in CCB. Look for new leadership and make recommendations to the president or a committee chair. Support CCB-sponsored events by purchasing tickets, attending, and encouraging others to buy tickets. Maintain CCB membership. Encourage others to become members and contribute financially. Attend CCB-sponsored events, providing logistical support when necessary. Successful actions happen in organizations when the board members contribute work, wisdom, and wealth. Signature followed by lines, date followed by a line. End of document.
Okay.
Madam President.
Gene seeks the floor, I think that was.
Yeah. Has this been expanded a little bit on? Or is this actually what I submitted to you?
I believe that I added one or two things.
Okay.
And if you ask me exactly what they are now,
no,
I can't tell you. In the interest of disclosure, right?
Yeah, I had to adapt another document for their organization for this. And I guess the one thing is I missed, saying about, when it says like purchasing tickets, I'd like to amend that would be to whenever possible to purchase tickets, because I don't want to impose something a financial hardship on somebody that if they can't afford it.
And I guess my concern with that is that all of us who are serving on this board have financial issues, and our tickets aren't really expensive.
I guess it depends. Are you talking about one or two tickets, or are you talking about a $100 packet of tickets sometimes when we're,
That's why purposely there is not a specific number attached.
Uh-huh.
The vagueness is...
Okay.
That's the reason for, not attaching a specific number.
Okay. Thank you.
Dan.
I find this document really interesting. Almost looks like a pledge to me. There's another organization that requires a pledge. And I'm sorry, but I actually hate this document. What are you going to do? Kick me out if I sign my name and I don't, for some reason or another, follow these policies? Maybe there's a reason why maybe I don't particularly believe in a particular aspect of the direction of the board. So this locks me in to being a team player. And I don't know. I mean, is there any enforcement mechanism to this document?
The enforcement mechanism to this document would be the colleagues, your board of directors. And so that is the enforcement mechanism.
Madam President?
Yes, Gene.
I have a difference of opinion and respect what Dan just said.
Yes.
I feel that this is reasonable expectations of anyone on a board of directors, and that is to see that the organization following its policies, reviewing, and that particularly that a person puts in at least 5 hours a month toward the organization, moving it ahead. And it doesn't limit you to what type of activity it is. It's just promoting the organization. These, I think, are reasonable things that anyone could possibly comply with. And that is, so the person knows who's trying to get on the board, wants to get on the board. You're not going to get on the board and just expect to have a seat. You're going to actually work. And that's what this is, a working committee. board. So I'm strongly in support of it.
And Dan wishes to respond to Jean. What I'm going to do is take a quick moment of personal privilege before I give it over to Dan, and then there was somebody to the left that sought the floor as well, Artis. What I will say is that then our conflict of interest and confidentiality policy can be interpreted that way. And we have had, and this is why I was able to answer the question so quickly that you asked, what is the enforcement mechanism, which would be your board of directors. Just to let the membership know, we have had board members who have chosen, even though they have signed the confidentiality statement specifically, have breached confidentiality from executive sessions. And when that was stated, I never received so many calls from several different board members on one item. And when I shared with board members the concerns because confidentiality has been breached, even though each and every board member has signed confidentiality statements. And so I have no problem standing before you today knowing that this board is a fair board, is a board that loves this organization, and is a board that would not allow any kind of a pledge or anything that would be over the top to be passed. So I have every confidence in this board that they will continue, as well of hearing from the membership, to make sure that the California Council of the Blind continues going in the direction that this organization is to go in. And what this document does is it puts in words so that every single person who serves on this board of directors knows exactly what they are needing to commit to, as well as it going, the membership who may wish to run for the board will have an idea of exactly what they are choosing to commit to. It puts it all out in the open in the interest of full disclosure, and I have every confidence in this board of directors that if they see this, that some directors are putting before you with my support as something over the top and unreasonable, then you as a board of directors will definitely vote appropriately. And I will give the microphone over to Dan. I believe this is a reasonable request as well.
Yeah, Donna, that, I agree with you about the board, and I've been privileged to serve on this board, and this is my last public board meeting, and it's been an honor, and I've been great to work with all of you. I guess it comes down to, in my mind, that board members are elected by the general body and by the general CCB, and I'm responsible to the membership, and the membership will vote according to how I perform on the board. And I personally think it detracts from the confidence that the members put in their vote for me to do a particular job on this board and to have faith in me. If they don't have faith in me, they better not elect me again, because I didn't do very well. So there's the power of CCB. The power is not in the document. And the power, it's the CCB. The CCB is only as good as its members. And Donna's right on this board. You know, I agree with a lot of what Donna just said. But I also, it makes me worry when you have a document for every little thing. And I understand the fiduciary responsibility of privacy, and I had no problem with that form. Anyway, I've said enough. Thanks.
Okay, was it Artis that sought the floor?
Yes, it was.
Okay, Artis.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think it's good to have a document like this because I think it gives expectations of what is expected of a board member. So when somebody runs for the board, they know what they are expected to do, and they are more likely to do the work that's entailed. Sometimes people run for the board, and they don't understand what a benefit they could be for the organization. And they go into it just, oh, okay, I can do that. I can go to a couple meetings a year, big deal. You know, and they don't realize what the responsibility is. So that's why I think it's a great document, because I think it's important for each board member to be willing to put forth an effort to move CCB forward.
Madam President?
Jeff.
I have a concern with one clause, maybe more, but I think just one. And that is the meetings per year. And my concern isn't that we don't need some sort of a general policy on that. My concern is that it ought to be either a bylaw or a separate policy or a softer policy. Because if the way it is written in these expectations, it does create an enforcement issue. What do we do if this person misses three meetings? If this should be a policy that either the membership decides on or that the board decides on as a separate policy, or we have a softer policy. I don't know which we should do. I haven't thought it through. But I don't like the way it's written into this document, because it puts us as a board in a difficult position the first time something happens. Do we automatically get rid of that person? What do we do? And that's my only concern. But generally speaking, I'm in favor of having a document of this sort.
So my question to you, Jeff, is possibly having it written the way that it is and adding a clause, you know, a clause to it, you know, basically stating unless, you know, because obviously things happen, somebody may have to work, and we all know that, you know, jobs are, you know, definitely something that would take a priority. Do you have any suggestion for an addition?
Well, I guess if it was three unexcused absences, it would be a pretty soft policy, because anybody who's missing that many that hasn't told you ahead of time, look, I've got a conflict, they're really not doing a very good job. So I could probably live with that.
And Jean is calling for the floor, but I think that's reasonable, maybe changing that word. But Jean, let's hear from you first.
Three unexcused, that's fine. It could also be possibility of within a 6 month period of time, 50%, missing 50% of the meetings, regardless whether excused or unexcused. But the ultimate thing is that the executive committee, the officers, talk to the person and just find out what the problem is. And if there's a feeling that some action should be taken, you could make a recommendation to the board. Doesn't mean impeachment.
And that is basically what I meant by...
And maybe that would eventually, as Jeff is saying, maybe become a bylaws thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but maybe this is an expectation at least, and then work toward a bylaws if the group agrees with it.
So then my question is, what is the preference... put unexcused or within a certain time period? Because personally, and again, you as a board can overrule me, but I would like that to stay in there. But I hear what you're saying, and so I'd like to see how we could, you know, unexcused or within a certain period of time, what would be acceptable to you? I'm hearing different people whispering, just put the word unexcused in
Madam
there.
Madam Chair, we don't have a motion yet, so if you end up with a motion to adopt the document, I'm willing to to move to amend in the word unexcused, but I'll wait until.
Okay. Okay. And did anyone want to say anything else about the document? Is there something that people want to add into it?
Madam President.
Gabe?
I think it was Jerry. Or
Jerry?
No, it was me. Roger.
Roger.
Sorry. I noticed a couple things that I thought were evidence that it was a generic document that was imported. One was that in this organization, I would assume that we'd want the board to be familiar with the Constitution as well as the bylaws.
Yes.
And the other is it says to promote the board's vision and mission. I didn't know that the board had a vision and mission. I believe the organization. Has one, although I'm never quite sure what visions and missions mean. They seem to be very
come
very
to the president's catchy. Dinner.
Very, it seems to be very. It seems to be part of this personal growth thing that I'm against.
Who let him in here? Isn't he up for election? Oh, okay. Jeff said he was going to vote for him, but now he's oh, he was. Oh, he said he wasn't going to vote for him, but now he will. Okay, and someone else. So, Linda.
I want to sort of support and augment the position that Jeff took earlier. I am concerned about the lack of a mechanism for dealing with the consequences of not following this policy. And I think that unless that gets iterated in a clear manner, I think it's kind of toothless.
Okay.
Madam President.
Gene. And that's one of the things that I'm definitely hearing is enforcement mechanism, et cetera. And Gene.
What I'm willing to do is I withdraw it and massage it with some of the input, talk to Jeff, and then reintroduce it to the board with some of the refinements.
And,
so let's do that.
And was, but there were also other concerns that were expressed.
I've heard some others, yes.
And so we know that, and some of those were just a word change here and there. Okay. Gabe will send Gene the notes from this.
Other people should email Gene.
And what I would like, Jeff just stated, Jeff said other people should email Gene as well. So, Gene, you're chairing this this group here.
Sure.
To deal with the refining of this policy. And we have a motion to table.
We don't have a motion.
I'm withdrawing it and massaging.
Oh, you withdrew.
Withdrawing it and massaging.
He's withdrawing
it
and he's
there.
Massaging.
But I guess,
okay.
And again, you know, it, the spirit of it and the board as well as the audience is still with us, and that is, this is close to kind of a job description of expectations.
Yes.
Like the artist was stating, that people who are considering running or people who want to run somebody take into account.
Right.
This is the expectation. This is something that somebody joins the organization might aspire. Say, that's some of the things to do. I got to learn more of these things so that when I run for the board, I can say these are things that are familiar with the Constitution and bylaws and other things, and I have the time commitment and so forth. So, it's...
Okay, you're withdrawing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Artis seeks the floor.
There wasn't a motion anyway, so...
No, there wasn't. That's... No need for one since it's being withdrawn. And can we have some quiet so that we can hear artists.
I just have one comment, and I don't know if it's something that you could add in this or just something as practice we could consider. I know I'm on a couple other boards, and I've noticed that you have more of 100% participation if you plan regular board meetings, like, say, once a month, once every 2 months, have a certain date that you have them planned, mm-hmm. and then people can put them in their calendar in advance. Because right. sometimes just getting a poll, like a week or two before a meeting, it's a lot harder to get 100% mm-hmm. versus yes. having a regularly planned boarding. So that might be something we could maybe look at in the future.
Madam President.
Who is that?
Peter.
Peter. I didn't hear so I didn't recognize
you. I'm trying not to anymore.
Okay. Well, I do that all the time.
That's how we know it's...
I support artists'
go ahead.
I support the concept of this document, and I also support artists' having regularly scheduled board meetings.
Yeah.
That really is a great idea so people can plan.
And so... I think those are wonderful ideas, and we will definitely look to see what we could do to have a regularly scheduled board meeting time. Now, there are times, as you as a board know, David, thank you. There are times that things may come up at the last minute that must be dealt with, and every once in a while we're still going to have to do that polling of board members a week in advance. I just can't wait to see if we could find a day regularly scheduled that every board member can meet on.
There may also be problems. We have things to deal with the board meeting.
Well, and that's the other issue is, will we always have... So we'll discuss this offline on email to go ahead and do this, you know, because these are great ideas. And Gabe has notes of the things that people wanted incorporated into the document. Also, please email Gene. Gene, what's your deadline that people need to email you by so that you could start working on the massaging?
December 1st.
Okay. You're generous. Gene said December 1st. So if folks can email Gene by December 1st about this, and then they'll start working on that document. Okay. Any other comments from board members on this? You'll just email Gene. Okay, perfect. Okay. Next item on our agenda is public comment. And do we have... Oh. He's still here.
Not for much longer.
I know.
I was truly hoping that the previous item would be tabled. Gene, overall, I think it's an excellent document, but... when you reread it with an eye toward the fact that there are several places in it where you have mixed apples and pomegranates. At one point, I believe you talk about, or the document talks about getting materials out in alternate formats at a particular point in time. That's not board responsibility. That's an office responsibility. I would urge that when you look at this, you look at it specifically with an eye toward what do we expect from our board members. And I think you'll find that there are multiple points throughout the document that go off track, that do mix expectations of the board with expectations of others. And while those expectations are valid, they probably don't belong in that document.
One of the things that I would state, and that's a good point, you know, we'll definitely look at the document for consistency. The reason that that point is in that document is because at times, actually most of the time, the responsibility for getting those documents to the office is the responsibility of some board members who wish to give reports on certain issues. So it's not solely an office responsibility.
Well, in that case,
Mitch, go
ahead, Gene.
Mitch, I agree with you. I must have been in a real daze when I was adapting. I really don't even remember where that came from.
Yeah, that was
so,
in there. That was
it's
in there.
Been a hectic last few, about the last month or so. Mm-hmm. It's been one hell of a time. So you're absolutely right about those things, and I don't disagree. Thank you.
What you might want to consider, and for those who don't know, yeah, Gene's been kind of busy. He's doing some major work for the Environmental Access Committee for ECB.
As well as his job.
As well as his job. Well, job's secondary. And, Gene, what you might want to look at is kind of jot down four or five major types of expectations or categories and then cluster the document, reformat it so that it makes some sense to someone who, for example, is deciding, oh, do I want to run for a board position or not?
Right.
And they look at this and it makes some logical sense from a reader's standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
We have one more.
Okay. This is public comment on anything.
Hi, this is Mike Keithley. It seems to me that this started because people you were writing grants for wanted this kind of specific information.
Yes.
And so my question is, it seems to have, am I correct, that we're not writing these things to satisfy the person who wants the information, we're writing it because it's suddenly evolved into something that we have, that we need to address. Because if we're just writing it for the people who want the information, we could just write it and don't have to.
Right. Mike, you are correct. Funders want to see something that shows the level of commitment of your board, and this document is pretty soft compared to some of the other board expectations and responsibility documents that I've seen. But yes, folks are correct. It does need some refining, and that will be done. But yes, we're not writing these things just to write them. Funders want to see this stuff. You know, when we get asked level of commitment of your board, they want to see a board expectations policy, knowing that each and every board is committed to that. So you are correct. Thank you for asking that question. Any other public comment?
Madam President?
Is that Kathy?
Good evening. Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
Yes.
And as a member of the organization, I'd like to say that I'm in support of the board expectations document. I think for the reasons that individuals have stated, for people who may want to be on the board, for them to know, understand, and be able to commit to those expectations. Also, as a member who is voting for people to be on the board, I think it's very important for each of us as individual members of this organization to understand the expectations for board members and to vote accordingly so that we are voting in people who will adhere to the expectations of the board, and this will strengthen our organization's effectiveness.
Thank you.
We have two more.
Okay.
Hi, it's Ken.
Ken.
Two things on the document, I think, this last one. The first one, probably instead of using tickets and things like that, maybe it's that the board member should participate in some way with local and state CCB fundraising projects. That might, you know, get the thing, the word tickets out of there at least, and because it all depends what that fundraiser might be. The other thing is, I would also like to see, I think the board members, if they are in areas where they have active chapters, where they have chapters and not just where they're members at large because the chapter doesn't exist in that area, I think they need to be active also in their local chapters. I think it's very important because if you're a board member on the state level, then I think you need to really try and motivate some of your local people to do more at their own meetings.
Thank you.
One more. Two more now.
Okay. And can we please have quiet out of respect for folks who are giving comment?
This is Judy Wilkinson. When I got up, Carly thought we were leaving, so that's all that rattling was about.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm concerned, and Jean, since you, I'm going to speak to you rather than email you, because it's board members that will email you, about the soft attendance policy. I've seen this board bend over backwards to allow board members to attend via conference call. I would be shocked to think that a board member could miss three meetings a year. For whatever reason. And, you know, as I say, it's not as if this board doesn't make it very possible for board members to participate via conference call to any of its meetings. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more.
Okay.
This is Lisa Cushman. This is unrelated to the document. It's about a different issue. I wanted to comment about the timing of the fall conventions. It always happens the weekend before Halloween, and people who are Wiccan, there's often a ritual the weekend of Halloween called the Spiral Dance in many cities, and it requires, and coming to convention requires that if you're Wiccan that you have to miss that ritual every year. And it's a really special ritual to a lot of people who are practitioners of Wicca. So I just wanted the board to keep that in mind when it's not supposed to be funny. I mean, I know it might be funny to some people, but just to keep that in mind when thinking about the timing of conventions.
Madam President.
Jean.
If I could try to respond. It's a challenge to come up with the fall without violating or in some way conflicting with some holiday. We have gone through the internet to all the different holidays and things, and to be honest with you, this is not one that's reflected in any of those calendars. We've also been asked to not conflict with the National Federation of the Blind. And we have really made an effort. I have repeatedly called up the president of the federation, asked what dates, so we don't conflict. And actually, we're now further out in planning than they are. They seem to be only about 1 year ahead, so... it tends to be the second. This seems to have been kind of their understanding that this weekend seems to be the one that we tend to be focusing on, and it's because it's the one we get the better deals. And they have been getting the ones the weekend before. So that has been the trend. We try, and we'll keep this in mind, but at the same time, we're going to have to look at what the hotels can offer us, the dates. We don't often have many choices at all what they give us. And we're trying to get it as cheap as possible. And this happens to be one of those rare holidays that is not as expensive as others. So we will try to keep that in account, you know, consideration. But I'm just sharing with you some of the realities we're facing. It's really hard this time of year to find something, and that is the reason where there's the ACB leadership has been talking about this, where a lot of groups have been moving their annual conventions to the spring so it doesn't conflict with football games. And I'm certain there's some people in this audience, Mitch might be one of them, might have some concerns about some football games not being able to attend or participate. So I promise, and I don't mean to take that light, but just that it's a challenge. And it,
yeah.
We try.
And having it is a struggle. It really is. Thank you. Do we have any more public comment?
I see no hands.
No hands. Anyone standing? No standing. Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have a second. Do we have any discussion? I think Jeff said no, it's too early, so that was part of discussion. Okay, Dan says discussion be closed, he's moving. All right, all in favor of adjourning the Board of Directors meeting, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Jeff was opposed.
Yeah, abstentions?
Stay
here.
All right, thank you very much. Oh.